I want to share with you this morning on the subject, fight until the bell rings. Cheesy, huh? Fight until the bell rings. Amen. With that in mind, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. How many believe we might learn something today? How many wants to learn something? Wouldn't it be horrible to go to church and just never learn anything, just hear the same thing over and over and over and never grow, never mature, never advance spiritually? But thank God we are going to learn. We're going to grow in the Lord today. We're going to become responsible disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows the Lord didn't save us just to sit in a pew or a cushioned chair, right? He didn't save us just so we go to church once a week and not do anything in the kingdom. No service at all. But God has called us to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I come to serve. And if that's not a perfect example for us to learn how to follow the example of Jesus in serving, then we're gonna miss it. Amen. So Psalms chapter 1, fight until you hear the bell ring. Psalms chapter 1. Are you ready? By the way, give our praise and worship team a good hand this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. We love you. Tabitha, it's always good to see you with us every Sunday morning. Lord bless you. Blessed is the one who does not walk. Everybody say walk. In step with the wicked. Or stand. Everybody say stand. I told you a while ago, you're not going to make me nervous, so just help me out a little this morning. Stand in the way of the sinners, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit, everybody say, sit. In the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. But not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Sometimes we love to read verse 3. Oh, whatever I do is going to prosper. The Word of God says, promises me in chapter 3 that if I meditate day and night, I'm going to be like a tree that's going to prosper in everything that I do. But you forgot to read the condition of verses 1 and verses 2 that leads up to the promise. How many knows every one of God's promises has a condition? We like the one that says, my God will supply all of your needs. You know, when we're hurting physically or financially, we'll claim that scripture, my God supplies. But you know what? There's a condition to Philippians 4:19. Read the verses previous to that and you find out what the conditions are. But sometimes we ignore verse 1 that says, do not walk in step with the wicked. Do not stand in the way of the sinners. Do not sit in the company of mockers. And we'll explain that as we go along a little bit. But it goes on and it says that the chaff is going to be driven away like the chaff, as the wind blows the chaff. It's verse 4. The chaff, let me just take a minute and explain this. The chaff was what was left over when the wheat was harvested. I know you've probably heard this many times, but I'd like to remind myself that when the wheat was harvested, they would go out and they would pick it up, and there was always a lot of windy seasons there in the Middle East, and they would pick that wheat up and they'd throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away that which was good for nothing. The wind would blow away the light stuff, the stuff that had no use. It'd blow away the chaff, and the good stuff would fall to the ground. The wheat would fall to the ground. The good for nothing stuff was always blown away. It couldn't be used for bread. It couldn't be used for anything. And it was light. It was weak. It wasn't strong enough, and it had no substance to it. And I just want to remind you this morning, sometimes the adversities in life will blow into our families or blow into our lives. And The key is, how are we going to react when the wind blows? How are we going to act when the waves tossing us all around? Now listen, you might want to buckle your seatbelt right now, because we're about to get into something that's going to, somebody's going to say amen and others are going to say oh me this morning. So let me just say it like this. If the wind blows you away, then you're chaff. If every time the wind blows, you go to pieces, then you're nothing but chaff. If you have substance, you're not going to fall away. If you've got the word of God in your heart, you've got it hidden in your heart, so that when the winds of adversity blows, you're not going to fall apart, blow away, and just be tossed to and fro on the sea, like James chapter 1 says. How many knows we all go through storms? Yeah. How many thinks Daryl and Darlene's ever been through a storm? A couple of you. Yeah, you better believe we've been through one or two at least. That was just this morning. We all go through storms, don't we? And sometimes the wind will blow so hard in our lives that it will dislocate us. We just get discombobulated, dislocated, and we fall apart. And that shows that we're just chaff. We're not the real thing. We're not the wheat. But I believe there are some people in Solid Rock this morning that when the storm is over, the wind stops blowing, when the smoke settles, they're going to be people that's going to still be standing and not dislocated or falling away or falling out or offended just because a few little storms come our way. There's always going to be storms. It rains all the time on the just or the unjust. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But verse 5 and 6 says, the Lord knoweth. I love that verse of scripture. The Lord watches over the way. He knows the way. One translation says, the Lord knows the way that I take. And thank God, there's nothing going to happen in your life that the Lord doesn't know about. Nothing catches him by surprise. Now, how many's been surprised by some of the curveballs that life has thrown us? I mean, we're walking along the road. It's smooth. They just blacktopped it. It's nice and smooth. Remember the pothole message? I'm telling you what, sometimes that kind of stuff just, we have opportunity to be dislocated. We have opportunity to be like the chaff. We feel sometimes like we're on some back road or some alley and don't know exactly what's going on or how do we get here. I like the book of Job where it says, the Lord knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. That doesn't say chaff. I'm not going to come forth as something that's useless, weightless, has no meaning, has no value, has no purpose. Amen. This is pretty good. It wouldn't hurt for somebody to shout amen once in a while. Amen. The Lord knows your way. You know what? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I was lost, but they come to Jesus and they say, I found the Lord. I found the Lord. I found the Lord. How many knows the Lord was never lost? Huh? You heard anybody say that? Well, I found the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He knew where you were at all the time. You were the one that was lost, not him. He knows. The Bible says he knoweth. Nothing goes through your life that God doesn't know about. Amen. And so thank God we're never lost to God. Amen. Verse 6 says, we can't walk in the way of the ungodly, because the way of the ungodly is going to lead to destruction. So if you're going to really be blessed in life, and I believe I'm talking to somebody here this morning that has ears to hear. If you're going to walk in the blessings, if you're going to maintain your blessings, you're going to have to be careful, number one, who you listen to. I think the ladies may have heard something about this on one of the nights that was teaching down at Branson. You got to be careful who you listen to. We're told to meditate on the Word of God day and night. I promise you, if you're meditating on the Word of God, those outside sources that are speaking into you and those winds of adversity are not going to rock you and shake you. Because I'm founded on the... Remember that song we used to sing, The Anchor Holds? Oh, I'd love for somebody to sing that sometime. The anchor still holds. Though the ship is tossed and the sails are torn and it's windy and it looks like we're going to... The anchor holds. And Jesus is still our anchor. Somebody shout amen today. But if you'll keep bathing your mind in the Word of God, keep flushing out all that junk that comes through on a normal day at work. There's stuff that comes through your minds. There's stuff that you hear. There's stuff that we put up with. But I'm telling you, the Word of God can clean you, can cleanse your mind. It'll clean your mind. It'll cleanse your soul. And that's why he says, don't listen to everything that's going on. If you want to counteract all that junk, you've got to bathe yourself in the Word of God. Now, I know you get tired of hearing me say it, but you know what? It's the Bible that says meditate day and night. And it says when you do that, whatsoever you do will prosper. Amen? We're wanting the harvest before we plant the seed. We keep bathing ourselves, and whatever we do will prosper. Amen. And it says you'll be like a tree. You'll be like a tree planted by the water. You'll bring forth fruit in the right time. Everybody say the right time. You know what? It's only a matter of time for some of us. It's only a matter of time. And I said us, because I believe I'm on the edge of that right time. I'm almost 100 years old, and I believe it's time. No, I'm not really. But I'm not even halfway there, am I? How many know you see other people having their season? When they're having their season, look at them. They're having their seasons. I planted, where's my season at? It's time for me to have my season. All I can say is buckle your seatbelt, keep your helmet on, and just hang on for dear life, because your season is going to come. Don't get frantic. Don't get jealous because somebody else got a blessing. Don't be impatient. It's only a matter of time. Say it with me. I will have my season. Say it out loud. I will have my season. Hey, here's a good one. Try this one. I might be a late bloomer, but I will bloom. I will bloom. Now, how many knows reaping is work? Now, listen to your pastor this morning. Sometimes people just want to believe God, and they want to see, you know, well, if I give to the church, then God's going to rain money down from heaven, and it's just going to come right into my mailbox, and I'm just going to be so prosperous. I don't know which translation you're reading, but I don't think that's in any of my Bibles, and I got a ton of Bibles. But it does say that when we sow, we shall reap. But now listen, reap is work. Harvesting is work. You don't just harvest automatically. Now, this may go contrary to what some of you have been taught, but I'm telling you something. Harvest is work. If you don't believe so, you ask any farmer. Harvest is work. You know what? I've got at least 50 to 100 acres of corn in my neighbor's yard behind us. He's got 50 to 100 acres of corn, but not one time have I ever seen a cob of corn or a kernel of corn jump off the stalk and walk up to my house and throw itself on the plate or refrigerator. Not one time have I ever seen a cob just walking towards my house and saying, well, Pastor, you've been planting, so here's your reward. And I go to the mailbox, and there it is. It doesn't happen that way. Get out of la-la land. Now, we have had, and I know you have had, those unexpected blessings. But there's some people that's praying for blessings, and they say, all I get is the opportunity for overtime. Maybe that's the key to the blessing. Amen. Reaping is hard work. I'll tell you what, you can't just go home, sit on your couch or your recliner, and have the remote in your hand and just praising God in the Holy Ghost, thinking, well, sooner or later, it's going to come, and I'm just going to flip through the channels and watch Days of My Life, and I Love Lucy, and I'm going to watch all these TV shows, and I'm going to eat my chips and cheese dip and popcorn and Kool-Aid, and my harvest is coming. No, honey, you're in for a rude awakening. That's not the way it comes. Somebody encourage me and say, that's pretty good preaching. I'm not proud. I'll ask for it if I have to. I'm just waiting for my harvest to come in. The Bible says, whatsoever he doeth. Huh? Did that sink in? We just kind of fly over that word, don't we? Whatever he doeth. That's King James. does, whatever he does, how about this? Whatever he sets his hand to. If he's not afraid of a little extra work, getting his hands dirty. Not afraid of a little overtime. Well, I just, people keep calling me and want me to do these odd jobs for them. Well, you know what? Thank God. Thank God. God's given you some creative ways to make finances. Let it work for you. Amen. Now, I'll say it one more time. Storms do come. We had one come through last year, and the sirens in Farmington go off. Seems like they go off every time the lightning flashes, but the sirens were going off, and it was just the wind was blowing, and there was this real eerie feeling in the air. And Max and Darlene wanted to go to the basement. I'm a tough guy. You know, I'm just ignorant, I guess. I don't want to go to the basement because of a little bit of wind. Anybody like me? Oh, yeah, look around. Hey, honey, look around. The wind howls a little bit, and we run to the basement. No, we don't, but we did that night. We went to the basement. The wind was blowing. The sirens were going off, and we just went down there and just had a little party, the three of us. And after a while, it sounded like it died down, so we got up, went up the steps, went up the other steps, went to bed, got up the next morning, and two trees were blown over in our yard. I mean, that wind was blowing all around us, and we didn't even know it. They that are what? Planted. They that are what? Planted. Those that are planted. Anyway, one of our weeping willow trees that she loved so much, and it was the first tree we ever bought there 20-something years ago, and it just blew right over, and bless Dwayne's heart, he came out there and cleaned it up for him. Mark, remember that time we went to your house, cleaned up that tree? Luke worked hard to clean that thing up. But anyway, there was people from the church went over and helped you clean up. Well, nobody came over and helped Dwayne. He just came by himself, cleaned that tree up. And then we had another tree that was halfway blown over. Half of the tree was blown out. It was just blown out. But listen, storms come. I don't care how righteous you are. I don't care if you're in the Word of God day and night, night and day and day and night. I don't care if you walk around the house with your hands up and you're praying in the Holy Ghost. It's still storms are still going to come. The key is don't be chaff. The key is don't be good for nothing. The key is keep meditating on the Word of God, and you'll find out that whatever you doeth, come on, amen. Can't go home and flip through the remote TV and play with your computer and iPad and iPhone, and harvest is work, and you got to work, amen. So storms do come, and Paul faced a storm that I want to talk about this morning, and he had even cautioned the shipmaster before they set sail, let's don't go, because I believe the ship is going to be totally destroyed. Nobody's going to lose their life, but you're going to lose the cargo, you're going to lose the ship, you're going to lose your business, if you just listen to me. But how many know some people don't listen to the word of the Lord? How many knows I'm preaching the word of the Lord to you right now? How many's listening to the word of the Lord? Don't be like the crazy shipmaster that just said, well, I don't care what the word says. I'm going to go on out anyway. And how many knows Paul faced that storm? They went anyway, and the ship began to break apart. It began to crumble apart. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read a lot of scripture in there. But we've heard the story. I've preached it before. You've probably preached it to somebody. But how that storm came and just began, the waves began to beat against that ship. And little by little, the boards of the ship began to fall apart. And they were just out there floating. How many of those boards float, right? Now, remember, dear Apostle Paul had prophesied, do not fear. The ship won't make it, but you will. That was the word of the Lord, Gabe. Fear not. The business is not going to make it, but you will. Fear not. The church van may break down on the way home from Branson, but fear not. You will make it. And you did. Anybody getting anything out of this? Man, I'll tell you what, if you're not, I am filling my cup. It's going to be overflowing by the time I get done this morning. My cup is overflowing, man. I'll tell you what, we need to hear this kind of stuff. And you say, Pastor, I've heard you preach on stuff like that before. It don't matter. We need it again and again and again. And the Bible says it's good for me to put you in remembrance of those things. You know why? Because those things come against us all the time, and sometimes we get weary of the battle. We get battle weary. We get gun shy. We get, what's that? PTSD, right? Paul said, the ship's not going to make it, but you will. Sometimes the things that you're counting on won't make it. Where's your faith? What are you going to do? Where are you focusing your faith? In that thing that you were counting on, or are you focusing on God and His Word? That thing you were counting on breaks down. How many knows that car of yours? I mean, I don't have to say anything, do I? Because we all know cars. They never break down at an opportune time, do they? Seems like you're in the middle of the night or in the middle of nowhere. Or how many knows you never have a flat tire when it's convenient? I'm glad the live audience doesn't have the microphones to listen. Sometimes things that we're trusting in breaks down. But let me tell you something. Listen closely. It's better that it breaks down than you break down. Hello? It's better that the car break down than that I break down. It's better that the business breaks down than that I break down. Because my trust is not in the business or the car or the money. My trust is in... Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord a praise this morning. Come on. Give the Lord a praise. So what do they do next? They start grabbing broken pieces of that ship. The ship's going to be destroyed, but there's a piece of something that they can hold on to. Maybe it's not a big board. It may just be a little broken piece of the ship. But how many knows there was people that made it in on some broken pieces that day? I believe there's people here today. You have in the past made it in on the broken pieces. It doesn't look like what it started out to be, but it just became a broken dream, maybe a broken marriage, maybe a broken business, maybe a broken child. Could have been any of those things, but you did make it in. And I just want to give you some good news. It's going to happen again. Don't get so excited because I said it's going to happen again, because it's going to happen again. It will. But you know what? There will be a piece of something to hold on to. I don't know how many people in here, and I don't want you to raise your hand, but I don't know how many people have had to file bankruptcy. But you know what? You made it through it. You got a clean start. And now your credit score is back up there again where it needs to be, and God's kept His hand upon you and blessed you. And you know what? Thank God. Thank God. We've all went through these times. We've all been through those times. And it's just, you know, it may be, you may just have a piece of your marriage, but hold on to it. Don't say it's going to the dump pile. No, my marriage is going to work. I'm going to hold on to that piece till I get to the side where I see that it's strong again. It may be a broken piece of different things in your life that's happening. You know, it could be a relationship. It could be your job. It could be whatever it could be. You know, but just hold on to that piece till you get to the other side. Because God said, you are not going down. Yeah, the ship or the thing that carried you or the thing that was transporting you may have fallen apart, but you're still here today. If you're here this morning, shout amen. Amen. If you're still standing, shout amen. Amen. If you're floating in on a broken piece, say, that's me. I'm telling you what, they had a death grip on that board. Huh? They were still storming. Listen, the storm wasn't over when they were floating in on broken pieces. The wind was still blowing. It was still raining. It was still, the waves were choppy. It was a horrible day, and they had a death grip on that plank of wood. Now, they didn't know where that plank of wood was going to take them. They were just holding on. God, you know what? You said we're not going to be lost, so here I am holding on to this. This is what we've got to do. We've got to hold on, regardless if we know which way it's going or not. They didn't have a navigational system. They didn't have a propeller. Amen? They didn't have Siri. Hey, Siri, where am I? No, they didn't have anything like that. They didn't have a compass. All they had was the mercy of God. And I'm telling you what, your worst days at the mercy of God is better than your best days without God. Did I say that right? Your worst days with the mercy of God is better than your best days without God. Don't forget it. Hang on to it. Yes, amen. Okay, in Acts chapter 28, Paul finds himself drifted to the island of Malta. Okay, he's on that island. It's raining. It's storming. It's cold. Do you ever realize no matter how hot a day is, when it rains, you eventually get cold. You'll get cold. And I don't know if it was a hot day that day or not, but there was no sun. The clouds were out. The raining, storming. And Paul finds himself laying on this island. I don't know if he felt like he was maybe knocked out for a while or what, but he was totally exhausted. He survived the shipwreck. He survived the storm. But now he wakes up to a bunch of savages around him. Oh, my gosh. Are these cannibals? Are these people hungry? Do I look like a rib steak to you? Or, you know, no telling what all they're thinking, you know. And he's probably thinking, you know what? By now, it ought to be over. God, you said the storm's not going to kill us. By now, it's been long enough. The storm should be over. If that's been you, shout amen. How long is this storm going to last? How long am I going to have to go through this thing? How long do I have to put up with this thing? Huh? I've been through enough. My life, my marriage, my home, my job, my friends, things just keep falling apart. Everything I touch falls apart. All I've got is a broken piece. But listen, we cling and we hold on to the promises of God. It doesn't matter. You see, that broken piece, that broken ship was part of the promise of God. Listen, I said it was part of the promise of God because God said the ship will be destroyed, but not you. Do y'all see that this morning? That part of that plank, that board that he floated into was part of the promise of God in sustaining him. And some people, you know, say, man, I don't know. My job, I thought I had the great job, and now it's not working out for me. I thought I had a good friend, and they betrayed me. They turned their back on me. I thought I could make it. I thought I had a good standing in the company, but the company let me go, and I started this business, and now it's not sustaining us. I'm going to have to let it go. Listen, regardless of that, you shout out, I am here, and I am still standing, and I'm going to keep fighting until I hear the bell. Amen. Amen. Don't think I'm over. I know you got a little excited for just a minute, but I'm not done. I'm still standing. I may be wet, but I'm still standing. I may be cold, but I'm still standing. I may be homeless, but I'm still standing. Are you with me? Somebody shout, I'm a survivor. Oh, come on, shout out like you're really a survivor this morning. I'm a survivor. I'm not dead. Come on, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I might be wet. I might be broke. I might have to cry myself to sleep, but I'm not dead. You need to throw yourself a party and call it an I made it over party. I made it through it party. I overcome it party. Amen. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage. I mean, the Lord speaks through prophet, through Paul, and he says, I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Only the car. Only the house. Only the business. Are you hearing me? Only the friendship. Can we throw up Isaiah 43 and 2? Let's look at this scripture. Would you read it out loud with me? Can you see it from where you're at? Can we read it out loud together? One, two, three, go. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Do you all see that this morning? Did you read that this morning? Did you speak it out to your mouth this morning? The word of the Lord says, though you are going through those things, you're not going to go alone. I will be with you. I may not know when I'm going to make it. I don't know when I'm going to get to the island. I don't know when I'm going to get to the other side. I don't know how long I'm going to have to go through this stuff, but I'm going to make it. Sometimes you just got to preach to yourself, don't you? Sometimes you just got to speak to yourself. Amen. I love the song that we used to sing years ago, and I keep coming up with these old songs that most of you probably never heard of, but it was Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Huh? Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Okay, I got to hurry. So here's Paul. He comes through the storm, right? He comes through the storm. He survives the storm. He made it through. He's laying on the beach. He's trying to catch his breath. The rain's pouring down on him. He's cold. He looks up, and suddenly he's surrounded by what the Bible calls these barbarous people. They begin to build, gather wood. They begin to build a fire so that they could warm the they were all prisoners on that ship, right? They were warming the prisoners, and Paul got involved in helping them. He didn't just lay there and let them wait on him. He helped. He got involved. A lot of people would just lay there and say, "Oh, I'll just wait until they get the fire going." But when Paul saw somebody was trying to help him, he decided, "I'm going to help." Can I tell you something? I'm a little bit tired of building fires for people who don't gather sticks. Do you know how many times we've prayed for people about something that we just preached about the week before, but they didn't listen? You need to listen to the word. Listen, we're not up here just trying to fill in 1 hour slot. We're not up here in church every Sunday morning and Wednesday night just trying to fill a time slot. We're here to teach the word of God. These classes on Wednesday night are important. They are teaching. Dara's doing an excellent job. I sat in her class last week, doing an excellent job. Dr. Sam's doing an awesome job. Tyler, where's Tyler? He's back there. Yeah, Tyler, doing an excellent job. But we're not just wasting time. We're not just trying to pull you out of your house or pull you out of your environment for a while. We're here to teach the word of God so that we can learn and learn how to stand in these storms. Amen. Okay. So I said we get tired of building fires for people that don't care. Amen. All right. All right. Let's drop down to verse 3 here says, because of the heat, the snake came out. As he was carrying these sticks and they got close to the fire, he put the wood on the fire, and suddenly a poisonous snake jumped out and attached itself to his hand. How many knows the story? Y'all heard the story. Okay. It came out, and it came out to bite him, the Bible says, and it was a poisonous snake. It was a venomous snake. And verses 3 and 4, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. As he put on the fire, a viper driven out of the heat fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." He survived the storm. He survived the shipwreck. But now they know Justice has finally caught up with him, and he will not survive the snake. That's what they're thinking. I can just imagine Paul saying, "You know, I was praying about the storm, and I got a word from God about the storm, but he didn't say anything about the snake. God forgot to mention the snake. He didn't tell me what to do. He said, the ship will be destroyed, but we'll make it. Well, the ship was destroyed, and I made it. And now I got this poisonous snake hanging off my hand. The very thing that I wasn't looking for. I wasn't expecting it." Attached itself. An angry snake with a death grip. Now, what's interesting is what the people said. The people said, "Well, he must be a murderer. He must be, and vengeance is coming to him." And, you know, the Justice was a god that they served on that island. It was one of the gods that they worshipped, and the god of justice. And now they say, Justice has come to kill him. Justice has come to get even with him. Justice has come to give him his just reward. God may have saved him from the storm, but justice finally caught up with him. I want to share a couple of things with you. Maybe this guy was a murderer. Maybe he should have died in the shipwreck. And it could be that justice has finally caught up with him. You know, the problem is that Paul was a murderer. Listen, Paul was a murderer. You know, it's easy to fight somebody that says something about you when it's not true. But what do you do when they're using words that are true? How do you fight against that? You're tired. You're weak. You're tired of hearing people's accusations. You're at your wit's end. And here comes the devil and says, you're getting exactly what you deserve. You got by with it for 5 years, and now you're going to get what you deserve. Let me tell you something. Listen to this. It's all right if you accuse me of something I never did. But what do I do if you bring something up that we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? You got to remember, Paul was a killer. He was approving of Christians being killed. Am I boring anybody yet? Okay. Am I holding your attention? Anybody want to dismiss and go eat? Good for you. He was a Christian killer. He approved of murdering. That's how he built his reputation. In fact, you'll read where people didn't even want to go to pray for Paul because he has a reputation of killing Christians. Remember the story? And so, the problem is he did what they accused him of. Listen, he had done what they were accusing him that he had done. Now, I've heard preachers say, and I'll tell you right now, I don't agree with them. But I've heard preachers say, the reason Paul was beaten, the reason Paul was shipwrecked, the reason Paul was stoned, the reason he was abused, the reason he had so many misfortunes was because he had killed Christians. Now listen, I'm gonna rock your boat this morning. I don't believe that for 1 minute, because what we sow in our sinful life is washed away by the blood of Jesus. It doesn't matter. Yeah, go ahead. It doesn't matter. If Jesus said I was cleansed at Calvary, it matters not. Now, I may have to pay a debt to society, but as far as my life and my heart is concerned, I'm as pure as, snow. Amen. Listen. Don't let somebody accuse you for what happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, 6 months ago. If you've went to Jesus and you've asked him to forgive you, it's under the blood of Jesus. I said it's under the blood of Jesus. You can't do something so bad that it's not under the blood of Jesus. I think I just hit a sore spot. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let me just read it for you. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous morale and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Woo! Now, I understand the Bible. I think it's Romans 8:1 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Oh, but there is. There is condemnation, but it's not from the Lord. You know who it's from? Your neighbor, your fellow worker, your old friends. You see, your old friends know you probably better than people at the church do. Amen? Your old friends remember what you guys did in high school. You know what? Now, I did some things in high school, Gary, that I'm not really, really proud of. But the blood of Jesus. So what if I sinned last week, and it was a sin that I know that I need to repent of, and it was just something not right. Okay, if I take it to the Lord and confess my sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. To forgive and to cleanse. Who are you to raise the question if you're guilty for what you did last year? Who are you to accuse me or anybody else or because of what you did last year? Come on now, church. You know what I'm saying. As far as I'm concerned, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you better be glad of that. I said, you better be glad of that. Now, here's what I want to get to right now. The Lord spoke to me this last week, and he really began to press upon me to remind people that you need to stop living in the fear of your yesterday's sins and mistakes. There's people here today and people that are listening and watching that you need to remember that Jesus Christ has forgiven you and cleansed you and made you whole, and there is no condemnation from God. Now, other people, bless their little stinking hearts, they may try to bring it up and I remember you. You had a baby out of wedlock. I remember what you did. Yeah. I remember you, 15 years old, you had to get married because you know all that, right? Come on. I know what you did. Isn't it funny that God don't remember those things? But boy, not us. We have to hold on to those things because we need to have some ammunition in our belt. No, sir. We need to let it go as though it never happened. Some people here in this church are afraid to step out and do what God's called them to do because of their past. And I want to encourage you today, don't let anybody stop your vision. Don't let anybody stop your dream. Don't let anybody stop your ministry because of your past. Everybody has a past. Now, some may have a worse past than others, but so what? Past is past. That means it's not here anymore. This is good preaching today. You see, that person that committed that sin is dead. Buried with him in baptism. Amen. So we've always been taught, seems like, especially in my upbringing, that when something bad happens to somebody, we have to ask the question, well, why? Why did something bad happen? I thought these were faith-filled, word-confessing preachers ministers or church members that just, that they were strong in the Lord. Why did something happen to them? I can't tell you how many times Darlene and I have visited people in the hospital or funeral homes or in their homes or in court even, saying, why did this happen? I raised my son in church. He knows better than that. Why would my daughter go out at 15 years old and get pregnant? She knows better. She was raised in church. She knows not to do that stuff. What did we do wrong? Isn't that the question we ask? What did I do wrong? Did I raise my children wrong? Did I do something wrong? We've got children. We've all got children that probably are not serving God today the way they should be. And the devil wants you to think it's all your fault because you didn't train them in the right way. And you know you did the best of your ability. Why does my son have to go to jail for 5 years? Why is he in the penitentiary? He knows better than that. How could my marriage go so bad? Why, we loved each other when we started off. We walked down the aisle. We said we love each other. We said our vows to one another. We were happy. It was the happiest day of our life. And now years later, I'm thinking, dear God, did I marry the wrong person? What did I do wrong? You know why? Because we are people that are prone to be guilty. We're always accusing ourselves. And if we're not, how many knows the devil is? The accuser of the brethren. Can I just say this? I picked that up from you, Dwayne. Can I say this? And you picked up something from me, too. Can I hear a good amen? Every time Dwayne preaches or is up here, can I hear an amen? We learn from each other, don't we? What was I going to say? Oh, I see it. Sometimes things just happen. Did you hear me? Sometimes things just happen. I don't know why things just happen. I know we live in a fallen world. We live around fallen people. We live in the world, even though we're not of the world. And sometimes there's no rhyme, there's no reason, there's no logic, but things happen. I don't care if you've been serving God since you popped out of the womb. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter if you've been serving God 100 years. Things happen. Surprises come along our way, don't they, Mark? I could name one right now if you want me to. Things happen, don't they? Accuser of the brethren working on you right now. Now, listen to what the Bible says. I referred to this a moment ago. I don't want you to say it with me. It rains on the just and the unjust. That's what the Bible says. If you would have been, you know, just, what was it, just 4 or 5 days ago, we remember September 11th, 2001, the 23rd anniversary of the fallen towers. Had you been at the World Trade Center on September the 11th, you could have had a bad day. It would have been a bad day. Now, whether you were saved or unsaved, listen to me, Christian or Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, white, black, brown, yellow, Hindu, Jewish, it makes no difference. How many knows the bombs hit everybody? Everybody. And there was a lot of good people that died. Believers. I believe spirit-filled believers. People that had given their lives to serving the Lord. They burned up with those that were unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. Do I have an answer for all of that? No. I have a theory that I have. But there's no answer to why we go through the things we go through. I mean, if we keep our ducks lined up in a row, if we're doing right, there's no reason. And here's what I want to say to you again: you need to watch out for those people that think they have all the answers. Oh, I know why you went through that. I know exactly why you had to suffer that. Watch out for people that's got all the answers. Watch out for those that think they know everything. And if you haven't met any yet, there are some. They know everything. They can always tell you why you're going through something. Amen? You know why? They need to get the venom of their words into your mind to bring confusion, and you begin to doubt yourself. Amen? Okay, don't let their words poison you. Don't let their words stop you from having the power that you need to fight the good fight of faith. Paul heard them say he is a murderer. Amen. Okay, I've got to hurry. I've got 2 more pages. 3 more pages. 4 more pages. Okay, I'm just going to read this just to save a little bit of time. He did what they said, but he wasn't what they said. Did you hear me? He did. He was a murderer, but he wasn't what they said. He was no longer. Your enemies will always define you by what you did. They'll never remember all the good works. One flub up and all of a sudden you're trash. 20 years down the road, they're still talking about what you did. But you need to understand that we are not defined by what we did. Come on now. What you did does not determine who you are. Now, some of you are looking at me like, oh, my, what did Brother Rhodes do last year? It's not about me, but I'll tell you what, the blood covers me just like it covers you. I haven't beaten my wife. I haven't given her a black eye. Well, somebody accused me of giving her a black eye, but I didn't. Okay, so we're going back to Psalm chapter 1. Ungodly advice is anytime you're speaking something about me that's different from what God is speaking about me. Remember that part that says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, do not sit in the seat of the scornful, you know, that part there? when somebody says something about you that doesn't agree with what God is speaking about you, that is ungodly talk. Amen. And listen, you can be a Christian and offer ungodly counsel. You sure can. I want the worship team to come up here, if you would, please. I'm going to cut this short because I want to get right into this altar service this morning. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting until you hear the bell ring. I just had to do that again because that's so cheesy. You need to learn to say, devil, I don't believe it. I don't care what Sister Bucket Mouth said. I don't believe it. I'm not living on their word. I'm living on every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And if God said it, that settles it. I'm telling you what, the enemy always wants to tell you it's over now. It's over now. You fought. It's over. Your life is over. But somebody needs to stand up this morning and say, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. I will fight till I hear the bell ring. I'm not giving up. I'm not letting go. I'm not going to turn in the towel or throw in the towel. I'm moving forward in the power and the integrity of God's word. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Say this with me this morning as you're standing up. I don't believe my marriage is over. I don't believe my life is over.
I don't believe my life is over.
I don't believe that God can't use me. I don't believe I've come to the end of my life. I don't believe I'm going to die. I believe I have ministry. Amen. Don't listen to the false prophecies. That's all it is. When somebody comes and they say words to you, it's just a false prophecy. Don't listen to those false prophecies. Amen? You know, there's people expecting you to die. There's people expecting you to fail. There's people expecting you to go down the tube. But don't listen. I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. I disagree with the diabetes. I disagree with the cancer. I disagree with the poverty. Sister Jennifer can say, I disagree with the cancer in my body. I can disagree with failure. I can disagree with my marriage falling apart. When Paul resisted the temptation to allow the counsel of the ungodly to work in his life, he activated his blessing. I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to shake it off. There's some things that need to be shaken off this morning. The past, the accusations, the guilt, the condemnation. You got to shake it off. That's what Paul did. Forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing on to those things that are ahead. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your precious word, forever settled in heaven. It'll not change one jot nor one tittle. I believe, God, that this word of God is going to come to pass regardless of the storms, the winds, the waves, the accusations. I thank you, Father, that our past is under the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you, Father God, that there's not even a film, there's not even a video of our past, revealing our failures. It's under the blood of Jesus. And Father, help us to remember that every time the enemy comes and shows us that portrait of our failure, that 11x16 glossy picture, that we'll realize that's not who I am. That's who I was. Maybe that's what I did, but that's not who I am today. And Father, I'm asking you this morning to restore faith in the calling that you've given all of us. Restore our faith in the anointing that you've given us, Lord. Restore that which people are trying to tear down today. People waiting, just like they were waiting for Paul to die of that snake bite. People standing around watching When are you going to fail? When are you going to mess up? I'm watching you. When are you going to let us down? When are you going to turn your back on God? When are you going to follow after the flesh? But I thank you, Father. Just as Paul shook off that poisonous viper, we shake off every word that's spoken against us. Your word declares, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every voice that rises up against us shall be found guilty. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you just for a moment if you'll just listen to this instruction. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm going to ask the believers to be praying right now. Because there could be somebody in this house today that's not born again. They've never given their life to Jesus. They don't have the assurance or the trust in God that He's going to get them through the storms. And I'm going to ask you today, if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you did at one time, but you've grown cold and you've grown indifferent. You're like Peter who had to moved away from the Lord and had to warm himself by the fire. Would you just simply be willing to say yes to the Lord today? Would you be willing to just say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to make a difference today. Today is my day, and I want to give Him my life forever. Just lift your hand up real quickly. I want to pray with you. Anybody? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to give my life to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for that individual that just raised their hand. God, we don't know what they've been through. We don't know what they're going through today. But God, I know that they've already given their heart and life to you, Lord. I know that they're right with you. But I just pray, God, that you will encourage us, Lord, that we'll not live in the guilt and the condemnation of the past, that it's all under the blood. Father, remind us today, and thank you for reminding us, that though our sins were as scarlet, they're now as white as snow. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. We are as righteous today as we ever will be. We cannot be more righteous. We cannot be more righteous by reading more, praying more, studying more. It's not going to make us more righteous. We are already the righteousness of God in Christ. And I bless this congregation this morning, Lord. If there's anybody here this morning that you need prayer, you just want somebody to pray with you, you need somebody to lay hands on you and just pray with you about anything, we have prayer people up here that will join you in prayer. They will agree with you. If you'd like to come up this morning for prayer, I'm going to ask the worship team to sing this song. And if you want to move forward, move forward. If not, just stand there and we'll worship God together, okay? Amen. Go ahead, Dylan.